You're listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Number three of Cap and Company here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I'm Chris Black along with Pat Boyle sitting in for David Kaplan today. You can follow us on Twitter at BoyleMBCS and at Chris Black. We are live from the First Midwest Bank Studios on State Street in downtown Chicago. We're here till noon today. We're open for business and your phone calls at 312-332-3776. You can tweet at us. We'll get back to you throughout the show as well. Lots to discuss this hour, Pat, as we look ahead at week 7 in the NFL. At about 11:30, we'll go through the slate that we have in week 7 around the National Football League. And lots to discuss with the Bears and Saints. A tough matchup for the Bears on the lakefront and against a really good Saints team this Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this defense responds without Akeem Hicks, and what did the offense do over the bye week to get something going, especially in the running game.
That's Pat Boyle. I'm Chris Black in for David Kaplan today. Let's talk with Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune. He's their Bears reporter. You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Wiederer. He joins Chris and Pat right here on ESPN 1000. Dan, as we take a look at the Bears heading into Sunday, is it safe to assume that Trubisky will play this weekend?
I think it's safe to assume that. I think we've got a little bit of follow-up to do at Halas Hall today. Matt had sort of alluded yesterday to the idea that Chase Daniel may be taking some of the reps, and then the injury report came out yesterday afternoon and Trubisky was a full go. So we just have got to get a little bit of a clarification today on just where they're at in terms of the rep distribution and where Mitch is at after yesterday's practice, but I think it is safe to assume that that's the way it's headed.
So what concerns do you have with Trubisky playing against that Saints defense with the harness on the non-throwing shoulder?
How much time do you got, Pat?
We got an hour until Madonna, or if Madonna gets in here earlier, we're going to have to spring you. Sorry.
Yeah, I have a lot of concerns. And I think that this game is really tricky for Trubisky on multiple levels. Number one, you mentioned it. You're playing against an opposing defense that has been really, really good through the first month and a half of the season, and a defense that gets pressure on opposing quarterbacks. And so Mitch has got to figure out how to work through that, first and foremost. Number two, he's trying to work through the physical comfort or discomfort of playing with a harness on his non-throwing shoulder. And where does that put you in terms of your mindset, your headspace, the things you're able to accomplish physically? And does that screw with your mind a little bit as you're trying to get comfortable after basically a three-week layoff? Number three, Mitch has got to try not to press to make up for lost time, right? This is a situation where last year when he came back off the shoulder injury and had this high-profile game against the Rams on a Sunday night stage, he struggled and made bad mistakes, and the defense bailed him out, and they got him a 15-6 win, but it was one of his worst games of his career. And so you put all those things together, right? All three of those things that Mitch has got to figure out how to navigate this weekend, and there's plenty of reason to be concerned. Oh, by the way, he's going to Soldier Field, where if the Bears score 3 points in the first half and have a couple turnovers or a bunch of three and outs, I think you're going to feel the impatience level from that home crowd, and there's going to be some audible disapproval of the way this offense is played, and so that's another factor to put into this equation.
Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune talking with Chris Black and Pat Boyle in for David Kaplan right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Taking a look at Trubisky, I wouldn't say that quarterback instincts is necessarily a strong suit for him, but we've seen in the past with other quarterbacks when they're hurt and they're trying to protect a part of their body, the quarterback instincts kind of play into hand when you throw it away or you don't take a big hit and you do things that are smart. Do you look at this and what Trubisky can do on the field and the fact that he does have an injury as a major problem as he goes through the game and playing against the Saints? Is he able to kind of protect himself throughout a game with his quarterback instincts?
That's a great question. It really is a great question. And I think that this is one of these things that is just sort of lingering out there, is where will he be mentally in terms of being able to understand where he's at physically, and is it hindering him? And look, we haven't seen Mitch run the ball a lot in 2019, and that was one of the things that he did last year that made him a more dangerous quarterback. Some of that is a result of teams taking the run away and daring him to beat them from the pocket. Another part is Mitch just not necessarily taking advantage of all the opportunities that are there to make a play when a play's not there in the passing game, to just get out, use your legs, use your feet, get a first down, and get a new set of downs. And so he's got to figure out the right balance of that, and that's incrementally or exponentially more difficult when you've got an injury where you're going to be a lot more hesitant to run against an aggressive and rugged front like the Saints have if you're worried about getting hit and having some pain in that non-throwing shoulder.
As you spent the bye week delving into, you know, the first five games and what needs to change for this team and trying to figure out solutions to the problems, Matt Nagy and the coaching staff were doing the same thing. What did you take away from your conversation with Matt as far as what they're trying to do to improve the running game and doing it without Kyle Long going forward?
I hope Matt and the coaching staff did a better job of figuring this out than I did, because I'm struggling to find answers with where they're going to suddenly get this jump start. The worst part about this matchup, again, is that this Saints defense is really good against the run. A couple weeks ago, they held Ezekiel Elliott to 35 yards. Leonard Fournette last week, a pretty much a non-factor. I think averaged like 3.6 yards per carry against them. And so I don't think you're going to suddenly get this matchup that allows you to really get rolling on the ground. And so now you've got to put the pieces together and try to figure out what you're doing here. Obviously, Rashad Coward is the guy that gets the next shot at playing guard in Kyle Long's absence, and Matt has talked about the offensive line just playing with more of an edge and more of an aggressive mentality and trying to be a tone-setting group that allows them to get that going. But we're too deep into the season to believe that you just shake things up at the bye week, you snap your fingers, and all of a sudden it's a new-look offense that we haven't seen to this point. And so this is a really tough game Sunday, even though it's at home, even though the Saints don't have Drew Brees, even though Alvin Kamara is banged up. This matchup is really difficult for this team with where they're at right now, and it's going to be very telling when we get to Monday to see how they've come through this.
Dan Weider from the Chicago Tribune talking football with Chris Bleck and Pat Boyle right here on ESPN 1000. Last week, Matt Nagy said during the bye week that everyone needed to look into the mirror during the bye week to come up with answers. Did Nagy look into the mirror, and did the mirror tell him back that the Bears should run the football more?
There's no question he looked in the mirror. Matt is as good as it gets in terms of taking ownership of struggles and failures and understanding that he's part of this equation as well. I'm troubled that we are in mid-October of 2019 and we continue to hear the same messages of this offense finding an identity. We talked a little bit about our Bear Download podcast on the Tribune about Matt talking to us at the Combine in February about how they were going to have an identity established when they got into OTAs, because they had continuity and they had chemistry and they had a second year all together, and they knew what they did well last year and they knew what they didn't do well last year, and that was a great starting point for them. And yet here we are, week 7, and we're still talking about trying to find an identity with this offense. That's bothersome. Matt's got to own that. He's got to figure out ways to get that going. Can they get the running game going? Probably not this week. Can they get it going for the last 11 games of the season? You better hope so, because otherwise they're in a world of hurt and the bottom could fall out of the season really quickly. You just have to hope that the guys up front on the offensive line can be better. You got to hope that there's, you know, 5 or 6 plays a game where David Montgomery has a little bit more running room to break through, use some of that contact balance and ability to use his vision to get in the open field and make big gains. And hopefully a little bit goes a long way, but it's certainly a wait and see with the way this has gone through the first 5 games.
And hopefully, Dan, the Bears defense resembles the defense we saw the first 4 weeks of the season, not the one we saw in London. Of course, Akeem Hicks is a huge loss. And first of all, give us just an update on what you took away. Is he going to have surgery on the left elbow? And, you know, he was going to have his knee possibly cleaned out as well. There was some discussion that he might have that done over the bye week prior to this elbow injury. Is he going to have either of those done? And when do we anticipate that he could be back?
Well, Matt said no in terms of the surgery with the elbow. And so we will take him at his word for now on that. The IR designation keeps him out till at least week 15. The earliest he could come back is week 15. That's a long way away, and so they've got to proceed as if Akeem is not coming back for the rest of the season. And if they get that little boost in late December and they're still in a playoff hunt and they're still in the thick of this thing and they can get a boost from a guy who has been as great of a player up front as he's been, then great. But for now, you've got to hope that one of your deepest positions, the defensive line has had depth since training camp began, since the offseason began, can flourish with opportunities given to Roy Robertson-Harris, to Bilal Nichols coming back into the fold, to these guys up front, Nick Williams, that have stepped up when needed, and they've got to play at a higher level. There's no way around it. They've got to play at a higher level going forward. And then to your point that you made earlier, other stars on this defense and other guys that are expected to emerge have to take their game up a level. We need to see Khalil Mack be Khalil Mack. We need to see Eddie Jackson have a few game-changing plays. We need to see Leonard Floyd come back from what has been a month-long disappearance. And all those things have to happen if you are going to remain a top-tier defense. Look, there may be a regression. This without Akeem Hicks, this Bears defense may go from top three to top 10. And they'll still be really good, and they'll still be capable of keeping you in every game, but they may not be as capable of taking over and winning games by themselves. And that's why the offensive struggles are so concerning and need to get fixed as soon as possible.
What's going on with Trey Burton? Why is he not giving us the same football that we saw at the start of last year, especially production-wise?
He continues to say that he doesn't feel like himself. This has been an issue since the playoff game in January. Physically, he doesn't feel consistently good enough, and it's been the same conversation, Chris, for a long time. I don't know how many more answers we can give other than I don't think you can count on Trey Burton. You know, if that hasn't become apparent in 2019, I don't know when it will. If they're able to squeeze something out of him, great. The problem there is that tight end group has been completely unproductive as well. And so this is a problem. This team is in a dangerous spot here. Even though they're 3-2, even though they're at the same spot they were last year after five games, this group has got a lot more to work through, whether it's injuries, whether it's some of the things going on behind the scenes that have tested them and added to the anxiety and the tension in the building. It's not the same vibe, and they've got to find a way to recapture that. The hope here is the next 2 weeks you've got home games that you can find that magic that you had against the Redskins and the Vikings. You can put some wins together, and all of a sudden those good vibes come back into the building. But right now it's a tense place to be and a place that they're feeling the urgency and they're feeling the pressure of trying to get the season on the track that it's supposed to be on.
Dan Weeder from The Trib joins us on Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. So as you take a look at how this game may unfold Sunday afternoon on the lakefront, if both defenses live up to their billing, mm-hmm. we could have, you know, like they had 13-6 against Jacksonville, 12-10 game yeah. against Dallas. It could be a Will Lutz, Eddie Pinheiro kind of kickoff. I saw Bill Barnwell on SVP last night, and his breakdown was attack with the slot receiver on offense. The Saints had the third worst defense in the slot this season. Could you see that being a scenario of where Matt Nagy tries to attack this Saints defense?
Yeah, no question. I think that last year in particular, Matt did a great job with his staff of taking each individual game as its own puzzle and putting the pieces together and understanding where the Bears' strengths matched up with the opponent's weaknesses. And they've got to find ways to do that this week. Taylor Gabriel, 3-touchdown quarter in Washington in week 3 and has been out with a concussion ever since. He's back in the mix. Does his return give them just a little bit? I'm not expecting Taylor Gabriel to have another 3-touchdown game or be a superstar for this offense, but does his presence give him a few more of those plays that keep drives alive? Does Anthony Miller build on some promising moments in London where it felt like he got himself unlocked a little bit and made a couple plays and got into a rhythm? Can he be more productive and more consistent as we go forward? They're going to have to find ways to make those plays happen. As you mentioned, this is a game that I don't think either team expects to get, you know, past 25 points. If one of them gets, you know, first one to 20 wins, right?
And, yeah.
More realistically, we're probably looking at a 16-13 type of game. And so find ways to scratch out points however you can and find those matchups that allow you to do so.
Thank you, Dan. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, Dan.
Dan Weeder from the Chicago Tribune, Bears reporter. Follow him on Twitter at Dan Weeder. The more I think about this game, Pat, like I get that we all kind of look at the stats and say it's going to be low scoring. Man, can Trubisky and the Bears on offense score 20 points?
I think
it's a question
mark,
right?
To me, it feels like Dan said. I mean, it's a 17, 14, 20 to 17 game. First one of 20 wins.
We trust our kicker?
That's a great point because, you know, Pinheiro has also been dealing with an injury. He said yesterday he's starting to feel much better, and the week off gave him opportunity to get closer to 100%. So, I mean, Will Lutz is one of the best in the business.
Yeah.
And you know, Teddy Bridgewater, he doesn't make mistakes. He is he's undefeated in his 4 starts, 7 touchdowns, a couple of picks, checks it down quite a bit. You're going to see Taysom Hill go out there in some red zone packages. You'll see him when they're on the plus side of the field, when they're at the 40-yard line, take a direct snap and try to run around the outside, run some RPOs. So you know, it's not this vaunted offensive attack. I mean, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, again, he checks down quite a bit. They've been going to using the tight end a little bit more in the last couple of weeks. But, you know, I see this being a defensive battle. And if you ask me, can they get 20? If the Bears defense takes it away and gives them some good field position, yeah, they can.
Low scoring game, tight game between two good defensive units to what Pat was saying, the special teams on the Saints. On footballoutsiders.com, they're ranked number one in special teams in the entire NFL. The Bears are actually very good this year. They're number five in special teams DVOA from footballoutsiders.com. The one thing I would also point to as far as stats go, the Bears are 30th in the NFL when it comes to penalties per game. Oof. So if you're playing a tight, close game that's a field goal or two, special teams play a big hand in this. The Bears are going to have to commit less penalties because they're going up against a Saints team that hasn't been committing as many penalties compared to the Bears, who are 30th in the NFL this season. Bleck and Boyle in for David Kaplan right here on ESPN 1000. We go around the NFL in Week 7. We take a look at the lines and the matchups coming up next right here on ESPN 1000.
You are listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Chris Black and Pat Boyle in for David Kaplan today here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. You can follow us on Twitter at BoyleMBCS and at Chris Black. We're live from the First Midwest Bank Studios on State Street in downtown Chicago. And Pat, we have football tonight. We have a good game tonight in the NFL. The Chiefs, who are 4-2, are heading to Denver to face the Broncos, who are 2-4, as we take a look around the National Football League and get you set for Week 7. Big matchup tonight, Chiefs and Broncos.
Yeah, and the Chiefs come into this one struggling. Their defense is giving up a ton of yards and a lot of points, namely on the ground. The last four games, they've had a 100-yard rusher against them. In the last two games, the two losses, the opponent has rushed for an average of 190 yards on the ground. So if I'm Vic Fangio, I'm, you know, going to have Joe Flacco hand the ball off quite a bit to Philip Lindsay. I'm going to coach him up defensively and hope I can contain Patrick Mahomes. But I'm going to try to make hay on a soft KC defense that is allowing a ton of yards on the ground.
And the Bronco defense starting to come into their own. Top 10 defense, according to DVOA. They're number 8 in all of football. So I think tonight's going to be a good matchup. And also the thing to kind of remember back to the Chiefs' loss to the Texans is Patrick Mahomes, is the ankle okay? And if the ankle is not okay throughout this regular season, is that really going to hamper him to be as great as we saw him be last season at that MVP clip that he kind of started this season off? Because really, he didn't look like himself last weekend.
No, he did not look like himself at all. It looked like that ankle was bothering him. You wonder when their bye is and if they're trying to get to that for him to get some extended time. It looks like they have off from 11-18 to December 1st. So their bye doesn't come for a few more weeks. To think that he can ride that out, I don't know. But I can't imagine this Chiefs team losing 3 in a row. Can you?
No, not.
I mean, I said that. I said that with about the Rams, didn't
right.
I, last
3 weeks
week?
Ago.
Yeah, right.
the line, Kansas City is the favorite by 3 points. The over-under is 49 heading into tonight's contest. Looking around the NFC North, the Vikings off of their big win last weekend over the Eagles. They're 4-2 right now. This is a noon kick. They travel to Detroit. The Lions coming off the tough loss to the Packers at the end of the game. So this is a big one for the Lions, because if the Lions want to be taken seriously, they have to hold home field advantage and beat the Vikings this Sunday.
Look, everyone's going to say the referees cost the Lions a victory at Lambeau Field last week. I'm going to say they had a hand in it. They weren't the sole reason. Matthew Stafford and that Lions offense settled for 5 field goals. They were 3 of 13 on third down conversions. They still don't really have a running attack with Kerryon Johnson. I mean, they're rushing for, you know, well under 100 yards per contest. So it's, to me, this comes down to Kirk Cousins. He grew up in the state of Michigan. He's looked a lot better the last couple of weeks. When they're playing at home with the lead, it's almost like I'm watching a different Kirk Cousins. I think this Lions secondary is better than advertised. And I think, you know, we'll see if he can actually put three good performances together in Kirk Cousins. I don't know if he's capable of that.
It seems like two somewhat even teams to this point, because I've been impressed by the Lions and how good they've been to this point. See, I get 2-2-1. But still, I think they are a tough football team to beat. Matthew Stafford's the better quarterback here. You're right, because Kirk Cousins, when he's winning, looks really good. I would argue, even if you watched that Eagles-Vikings game last week, that even while he's winning and up big, Kirk Cousins doesn't necessarily look that great. So the point being is, on the road in division, can Kirk Cousins go on the road and beat a team that has an improved defense, especially in the secondary, like you pointed out, Pat? I think this is a really good matchup. The Vikings are the favorites in this contest by 2 points. The over-under is at 44.5 right now.
They're the better football team, the Vikings. I mean, Dalvin Cook is obviously a better running back. But when you say that Matthew Stafford is the better quarterback,
oh, yeah,
I agree
hands
with
down.
You. I agree. No, I don't think it's
hands
always
down.
Hands down.
Hands down.
He was 18-32 against. Yeah. He was not that great against Green Bay
Monday night. Come on, if you had to stack the quarterbacks in the division, he is by far the second best quarterback in the division.
Yes,
and then it's
yes,
Cousins,
but that speaks
him,
more to the
him.
Bad quality of quarterbacks in the division. I just ask you, give me a signature win that Matthew Stafford has. They're not plentiful.
No, there's not.
And so, do I think he has more talent than the rest? Absolutely. His body of work, he's certainly been doing it for a long period of time. But at the end of the day, good quarterbacks find a way to win that game at Lambeau Field. And Matthew Stafford did not. And that really is his MO.
You nailed it, because the five field goals, I think if you just watch the game without the score being on the screen, to me, the Lions were the better team on Monday night, yet the five field goals are going to kill you, especially when you're going up against Aaron Rodgers on the road. In the division, the Raiders, who are 3-2 coming off the win over the Chicago Bears, a noon kick in Green Bay against the Packers, who are 5-1. Aaron Rodgers coming off the contest where he looked okay in the second half, not great throughout the entire game, but he made that one really nice throw towards the end to set up the touchdown. Green Bay is the favorite by 4.5. The over-under is 47 in this contest.
Look, I still marvel. You know, we complain about, you know, the Bears not having difference makers on the edge besides Allen Robinson. Look at the receivers that Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers is dealing with Davante Adams out of the lineup. Allen Lazard. Did you have Allen Lazard on your fantasy team last week?
No, I didn't. And then also, did you hear Aaron Rodgers on after the game say that Lazard's the one that was calling for the ball at the end of the game? He went into the huddle saying, give me the ball, boy.
Give me the damn ball.
All right, let's do it.
So, I mean, that's where you see the quarterback making the receivers better. And he's clearly doing that for the Green Bay Packers. On the flip side, the Raiders, look, we saw a total domination in the trenches in London. I was very impressed with the physicality up front. Did I hear that they gave Darren Waller an extension today or something like that? I think they agreed to terms with him for the long term with Oakland. I like what Josh Jacobs can do, but, I mean, to me, the Packers are the better team. What's the spread on this one?
The line is 4.5. Packers are the favorites at home.
Interesting number.
Another game I'm looking at on Sunday, noon kick. The Texans, probably one of the more impressive wins of last weekend, who are 4-2 now, heading to Indianapolis to face off against the Colts, who are 3-2. The line right now, the Colts are the favorites by a point. The over-under is at 47.5. And you have two teams that I think right now are playing above their expectations. The Colts, without Andrew Luck this season, playing well. And the Texans right now, Deshaun Watson and what they did last weekend against the Chiefs, one of the more impressive wins to date in the NFL season.
Look, I did not see that Deshaun Watson and Houston would win that. I didn't think they'd win that football game.
No.
And I was thoroughly impressed. And that's where you asked me earlier in the show about the it factor. Clearly, to me, Deshaun Watson has it. So does Patrick Mahomes. even though he's been hobbled. This is tough, though. Back-to-back games against Kansas City and the Colts coming off a bye. Jacoby Brissett has, I think, been better than most of us expected, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I look at Marlon Mack. He's certainly a better-than-average running back. I think he had 130 yards in their last game. How do you see this one faring out between the Texans and Colts?
Well, the thing that I point to with Indianapolis is that, to me, it seems like they were built the correct way in the NFL. I get that because of the fantasy football culture that we live in, and it's all about flash and skill position players, the Colts seem like they're built from the inside out.
Yes.
And the fact that their offensive line is so good, their defensive line is so good, and we saw what the Colts did to the Chiefs 2 weeks ago as well, I think the Colts at home are the play that I would go with. The 1 point, the pick 'em almost, is where you're looking at with this contest. And the Texans, and what you've seen with Deshaun Watson, clearly in the MVP conversation, he's thrown for 1,600 yards to this point in the year, 12 touchdowns. He is fantastic. I agree with you. I think what we saw in college translates to the next level. He is clearly one in that conversation of top 5 to 10 quarterbacks in all of football. But I think it's a tough spot. Divisional game. I would go Colts here just because from what we've seen so far to this point in the season, Jacoby Brissett has done enough to keep everything else afloat, and they're so good on the offensive and defensive lines that I would go Colts in this contest.
And I would go Colts as well, and I also give them the edge in coaching. I think Frank Reich has surprised a lot of people, and now he's coming off the bye. You've got Bill O'Brien trying to have his team up after a huge win at Kansas City. Tough. I mean, that was an emotional win last week. That was a big stage. If they can, can they match that intensity in a not so easy environment in Indianapolis? I'm not so sure. I like the Colts as well, and like you said, almost a pick 'em game.
And let's be real with this. If Deshaun Watson, Bill O'Brien, and the Texans want to be a contender in the AFC, they go on the road and they win this game, and they take full control of the division, right? Like, with Andrew Luck not being there and the fact that you haven't been able to beat Andrew Luck in all these years, well, go and beat his backup, right? Go and take care of business and put the Colts out of the way in the division. Another game we're taking a look at, a 3:25 start. The Ravens, 4-2, on the road to Seattle, 5-1, the Seahawks. The Seahawks are the favorites in this game by 3.5 points. The over-under is at 49. The Seahawks, probably one of the better teams in the NFC. And the Ravens, I'm not quite sure what to make of them at this point. It seems like they beat really bad teams, but when they face some good offensive competition, they really haven't been able to win those two since they've lost two games. I'm not sure if I'm sold or trust the Ravens at this point.
No, I mean, to me, Lamar Jackson, while he has improved in the passing game, he's still a running quarterback. That is his strength. Last week, he had a career-high 152 yards on the ground. They are at his best, the offense of the Ravens, when Lamar Jackson is getting out in space, creating and extending plays with his feet. I don't know how sustainable that is in the National Football League. I don't think it is sustainable. Seattle is coming off that weird win at Cleveland last week. Russell Wilson's playing at an MVP level. When you look at his receivers, Tyler Lockett is his go-to guy. But I look at the rest of that offense, and I shake my head as far as, is this a championship type of offense? And I that's where I kind of sit back and go, not yet. It's not there. But it's hard to bet against Seattle at home. I have to think they're going to coach him up and try to limit Lamar Jackson on the ground. I like the Seahawks in that one. What are they laying in that one?
3.5 points at home. I agree with you. With Russell Wilson, it's like, how many times do we have to see him be great and make smart decisions? Because, like, that's what it is to me, is he's so smart And the way that he orchestrates the offense, I know that was a viral clip that went all over the place where it showed that last drive. And he came out after the game saying that his headset went out in his helmet. So he was the one calling the plays as the Seahawks went down the field successfully. I feel like I know that a lot of people here in Chicago have envy over Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson because they think about Trubisky and the draft that took place. Whenever I watch Russell Wilson, I have envy that we just don't have a quarterback like that. He's just so much fun to watch.
No, he's fantastic. And he raises the level of the players that are around him. I mean, DK Metcalf is second among rookies. He's been certainly somewhat of a revelation and a surprise here in his first year. And then Chris Carson, very suitable backup.
Yeah.
Very suitable running back.
One last game for you, Pat. 7:20 Sunday night, the Sunday night game on NBC. The Eagles, who are 3-3, going to Dallas against the Cowboys, who are also 3-3. The Cowboys are the favorites by 3 points. The over-under is 49. This is a big matchup in the NFC East because basically whoever wins this football game will be able to control a bit of what this is going to take place with this division. Clearly, both teams 3-3, but I think both teams at this point in the season have major question marks because both thought that they would be much better at this point in the season, especially the way the Cowboys started their year. And getting Carson Wentz back for the Eagles offensively, this is a very interesting matchup in Dallas on Sunday night.
Yeah, and don't you think it's kind of a season-defining game?
Yeah,
I mean, both teams at 3-3 coming into this one. Dallas, their three wins are against suspect teams. To me, this is going to come down to the injuries. Amari Cooper may not play in this one. Left tackle out for Dallas. I think I also heard that their right tackle may also be out. If that is the case, I really like the Eagles because of the injuries to the Cowboys. Tyron Smith is dealing with, and Lyle Collins. I mean, so those are two huge losses for the Dallas Cowboys on the offensive line. And, of course, if you don't have Amari Cooper, we saw last year Dak Prescott in the passing game. When Amari Cooper's in and when he's out, it's like completely different offenses.
Well, and also Dak Prescott through 3 weeks of this season, people were talking about him being a top 10 quarterback, an MVP candidate, and all the numbers they're putting up offensively. And then you see the games that they've lost recently, and especially against a Jets team. I know a little bit better at home, but basically you look at what they did recently and people are like, okay, maybe this is how it goes with a guy like Dak Prescott. You have some up games, you have some down games. He's somewhere in the middle. If you go to 538, they're projecting this to be a Dallas win by 55% of the time. Dallas win by 55% of the time. This is a close matchup and one of the better matchups of the NFL weekend.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. Garrett said that it doesn't look like Cooper is going to participate in practice today. So, again, if it gets to tomorrow and he's not able to participate, I think that's a huge loss to that team. And, again, the offensive line injuries are certainly going to hurt Ezekiel Elliott's effectiveness.
That's Pat Boyle. I'm Chris Bleck in for David Kaplan today. Coming up next in the NFC North, if you were betting on who would win the division, is there value with the Chicago Bears? I'll ask Pat that coming up next right here on ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon. It's Thursday. That means we're a step closer to Bears and Saints. How you feeling over there?
I feel pretty good. I know you've got them for a loss. I've got them winning this game. It's a very big game for our Bears. We'll discuss that with Barstool Big Cat at 4 o'clock. Also, Tom Brenneman will have the call nationally on Fox. He's going to join us and Mark Jean Greco in our studio for a special segment at 5:30.
How sweet it is. Plus a trip inside Waddle's world. We start at 2. Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Crosstalk's brought to you by the Wolves. We are aggressive. We are fearless. We are the Wolves. Catch the Chicago Wolves against their arch rival Rockford Ice Hogs this Saturday night, part of the Illinois Lottery Cup.
That's right.
At Allstate Arena. Get your tickets at ChicagoWolves.com.
And I believe they're taking on Rockford, so you'll see Kirby Doc.
You will see Kirby Doc.
Unless he's been recalled.
And you will see
Papa Doc, they call him.
Kirby Papa Doc.
Right?
Yeah. You'll see Adam Boquist and Kirby Doc if you go to that game.
Can't wait. Thank you to J.R. Strong. Krause and to Danny Zimmerman for producing the show. Jesse Rogers.
It must be that chair that jackass rubs off on.
I gave a solid read to the Wolves there.
Great job, guys. Great job, guys, behind the glass. Really good, solid stuff today.
Crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko. They're here in studio. I was going to ask Pat this question, guys, so I'll ask you as well. We know that the Packers are the favorites to win the NFC North.
Yes, they are.
Is there value on the Bears at plus 400?
Yeah, sure. There's probably. They
still have a shot to win the division, right?
Yes. The second half of the schedule gets tough for not only the Chicago Bears, but also for the Green Bay Packers. They've got a ton of road games in the second half of their season. Why does it seem like they're playing at home every single week? Because they are playing at home every single week. Second half will be tough. I swear to you, 10-6 will be good enough at the end of the year to get this.
Is it worth it to take $50 to potentially win 200? Ask yourself that.
50 for only 200?
Yeah.
What are they, 4-1?
They're 4-1. Yeah, that's exactly what they are.
Yeah.
I don't think that's bad.
It's not enough value for me.
Okay, so then
if they were 6-1, you know, 2 games behind, actually 2.5 games behind, 6-1 to 8-1, that to me seems more realistic.
4-1. Okay.
I'd be willing to do that.
So if you're looking for more value,
I got more value.
The team that lost on Monday night, the Lions are +1,000.
Yeah. They're going to finish last. I am secure.
Take 50 and win 500.
Yeah,
there.
But I'm secure in the fact it take 50 and I'm going to lose 50. That's what that bet is, right there.
I would probably
maybe more
agree.
Value there. But all I'm going to say is Detroit Lions are destined to finish in bottom of this division. It's just the
really?
Truth. Now it may be 7-9.
I agree with your call.
It
I
may
think
be
Detroit
7-9, but Detroit's going to be the last.
And that's why. And I'm not going to bet the Packers as the favorite at this point. So you're down to the Vikings and the Bears.
Right. Yeah.
Is it worth $50 to cash in 200 at the end of the year? Yeah, it might be. I mean, $50
if you're cashing in on the Nationals winning the World Series.
$50 ain't going to break you. That's how I look at it.
And at this point, the Vikings are losing any and all tiebreakers because they were 0-2 in the division, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
They lost to the Pack. They lost to Chicago.
And they lost to the Bears. Now, would I put $1,000 on the Bears? Absolutely not. But would I put $50, maybe 100 at 4-1?
I'd rather put $50 or $25 on a team that had Scherzer and Stroudsburg going.
Who's Stroudsburg?
Stroudsburg
and who?
Did you guys
see this
from Jeff Dickerson up at Halas Hall? Bears coach Matt Nagy tells us that Mitch Trubisky will take all of the reps in practice today. Barring a setback, Trubisky is likely to start Sunday against the Saints.
Yeah, there you go. Mitch is back. The return of Mitch. Yeah, he's a quick healer. He doesn't miss much time.
So that's
a good thing or a bad thing, but I think you're still better off going into a game with Mitch over Chase.
So he put the harness on, and somebody told me Anthony Miller's taking it off.
Took it off.
Do they only have one harness?
Yes, they have to share.
You got to give it up, Anthony. We've got to put it on the shoulder of Mitchell Trubisky. So is that what happened up there?
We're only worth $1 billion.
Geez,
we have to share.
We couldn't get a second harness up there? What's going on?
Well, maybe Miller doesn't need it anymore.
Well, I think Miller, it's almost a crutch. You know, when you have that thing on your shoulder, it reminds you of what you can't do. Now, he took it off. I hope he didn't get hurt.
I hope he didn't get hurt.
He took it off in London late in the game, and then he made a great...
He cut it. I heard he cut it. He didn't take it off.
He cut it off.
Cut the harness.
Gotcha.
And took the cuff off. Mm. Yeah. Well, it's fine. You make the catch. I mean, you can make 100 catches. It's the one catch.
Right.
That's a little weird, or the way you fall is a little weird, and then all of a sudden it's hasta la bye-bye. It's popped out again. He's done.
Yeah. So what concern do you have from a medical standpoint of what Mitchell can and cannot do with the harness?
I think Mitchell can do everything but catch a ball that snapped over his left shoulder anywhere from 12:30 as you're looking at him, 12:30 to 2:30. I think if it's right here at 3 o'clock, you know, 90 degrees to his left, I think he's going to be able to catch it. You start raising that arm and bringing it back, I think it's going to be tough because of the harness.
So more pressure on James Daniels.
Yeah, but James Daniels has been fine all year, so I don't think there's any pressure on him.
Well, fine snapping.
Long snapping wise.
What do you guys have coming up on the show?
You got a whole bunch of magic. We got gambling. We got football.
We got baseball.
Yeah. We got all types of stuff.
We have a lot. Kyle Brandt, Adam Schefter.
I really like Kyle Brandt.
He's great.
He really great energy, funny.
I'm going to tell you this. He's a good-looking kid.
Too. Oh, he's handsome.
Oh, yeah.
He was on The Real World.
He's
on soap operas.
Yeah.
What do you think?
This guy was in studio.
He's a handsome
guy. You took a look?
You don't get to be on...
Guys, I don't think... I think it didn't take a look. I think it moved.
Right. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't get to be on a soap opera if you're not an Adonis.
I mean, I'm going
to
be honest.
It moved.
He's handsome.
Almost like when I saw Paul Paluszny. I'm like, oh, my heavens. Look at this guy.
He's a handsome lad.
This guy was a combination of Brad Pitt and Clooney combined.
Did you see the bit he did this week?
High?
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We laughed at that.
Awesome. That was fantastic. Yeah.
Good-looking man. Good-looking men, really. What a combination.
Yeah, we'll have a lot of fun.
All right, great. We'll be listening.
I think Chris will be on the board.
It'll be sponsored by Producer. I know that.
Do you remember the show Simon and Simon from the 80s?
Yeah, vaguely.
Simon and Simon. It was, there were...
Two Simons?
No. I remember Heart to Heart, not Simon.
Yeah, Heart to Heart's fine.
And when they met, it was Moida.
Either way, listen, it was two private detectives going out and about. I think if you put Kyle Brandt and Polushny and had them play private detectives and go out, boom, it's the second Simon and Simon.
Well, wow. He knows people in Hollywood.
I was dreaming about Madonna. He's dreaming about what he could put Kyle Brandt into.
Wow. Boy, I tell you, I'd like to put him into a half Nelson.
Carmen Yurko coming up next right here on ESPN 1000.
Okay. Good luck, Carmen.